We are in the middle of Perek Yud Beis. Yesterday we began Pasuk of Zayin. We did a few psukim. Let's review the Rashis and the Metsudos for these few psukim, and then we'll go forward. Maybe we'll talk about a few ideas relating to the Inyan that we have learned. Pasuk of Zayin. Let's right away jump to the Rashi. Pasuk of Zayin. V'chanukas chomas Yerushalayim. And it's Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk of Zayin in the Rashi. V'chanukas chomas Yerushalayim. B'tashlum chomas o'ir l'kadesh o'ir. When they finished the walls of the city to sanctify the city. So here they're sanctifying not the walls. Don't be misled to think that you need to sanctify the walls and the city does not need sanctification. No, that's not the pshat. That would be one can be misled to believe so. The city has kedusha. The walls are being rebuilt, so the walls need kedusha. No, the purpose is by walking around the walls, you're sanctifying the city itself. So here in this pasuk of Zion, toidah does not mean, don't be misled. I think it means a carbon toidah, as we're going to see in pasuk lamed aleph. In pasuk of Zion, when it says that they all got together to make the Chanukah, the Simcha, Soidos here means Uvehoidos with praise. The word Toida, the carbon Toida, that will be discussed in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Now there is a discussion as why we waited. Why was this celebration take place at the end of Sefer Nechemi? Why didn't this take place? We mentioned this briefly yesterday. Why didn't this celebration take place in Perek Gimel? And Perek Gimel is when the walls were completed, so they should have immediately celebrated at that moment in time. So the answer is because it appears that even though it was done 52 days, that was just the basics. But it took much more time until they expanded the walls. In fact, they even said in the pasuk explicitly that they only built the walls to a minimum height. But over time, the height of the walls were raised. Could be the walls were thickened. They were embellished. They were enhanced, designed, and did all different things to enhance the walls. So that took a couple of years, much more time. And that's why this dedication ceremony is first taking place at a much later point in time. Okay, Pasuk Chav Ches, at this point in time, Nehemiah recruited Levim from all over Eretz Yisrael, even as far as the Kikar. Asher Srivos Yerushalayim Bohu HaMeshoirim wasn't just local people, it was people out in the suburbs. Pasuk Lamed, we learned yesterday there were two words, Vayitaharu. The first is Vayitaharu with a Chirik, Mole, and the Tes has a Dat, a Dogish. And the second was a Shva under the Yud Vayitaharu, and then the test is refuya. Vayitaru tchila tiras atzam yakach tiras achem. First they purified themselves, then they purified others. The classic Musar Vart from the Gemara, kishoit atzmecha v'acharkach kishoit achem. First clean yourself, first purify yourself. Before you give Musar to someone, make sure you are true to your word. No hedoresh v'non mekayim. And that's the ultimate Musar, is Musar by example, not Musar by preaching. Next, V'yes Hash'arim, V'yes Hachayma, Shlotihia Tuma Shamir, they cleanse, they retire the gates and the walls. So Rashi explains, what does it mean? What is this very bizarre expression, that they purify the wall? We don't have anything like this in the Torah. You purify a wall. A wall is not Mekabel Tuma. A wall is Mechubel Karaka. Anything that's mechubel karka is not mekabel tumah. The only thing that's not mekabel tumah is if it's negat saras. But there's no negat saras here. In fact, negat doesn't even not even clear that we even was negoyim at the time of the bayis sheni at all. I don't know the details, but there wasn't enough kedusha that there should be tumah. So what then does it mean? So we discussed yesterday. Rashi says it shlotiyah tumah sham be'ir, to make sure there was no tumah. Then he says a little bit further, sham be'ir. Very interesting. If you take the Rashi literally, they made a bediko that this, before they can sanctify the city, they made sure, they made an inspection. People should not have in their homes things that are tameh. That can be taken literally. There shouldn't be any dead animals in the entire city. Not just the walls. I told you yesterday it means that they cleaned the wall. I cleaned from what I saw in the art scroll. They washed the walls. It's a ceremony. All the cameras are clicking away. Okay, there's a PR element here. So I'm sure when a head of state comes to a visit, you know, you clean up the White House, you clean up the palace. So that's how some Fashmon that the Tarush should be taken loosely. They cleaned the gates, they cleaned the walls with water, they washed it down so it should be nice for the ceremony. There probably were a lot of very chasha people, dignitaries. They probably invited people from other countries. I don't know, maybe even go and participate. That's a very big debate when you do a religious ceremony. This is getting off of going to the topic, but is it proper to invite a non-Jew to a Jewish wedding? It's a hot topic. By Hasidim, it's Imamash Yehar Gval Yavar. Just because you work in a business and you have non-Jewish employees and workers, it's none of their business. They don't belong by a Jewish wedding. So that's part of this debate. Because they hold that a Jewish wedding is a very holy thing. It represents the Chassan. A Chassan represents Hashem, and the Kal is Klal Yisrael. And when a man or woman, that's why do Jews spend so much money, such a Hasidim, they make the rebbes, they make such these massive weddings, spend millions of dollars, and they invite the whole world, Hasidim flying all the world. Because a wedding in the world of Hasidim, and to a very large degree by Ashkenazim, by us, it's not just a birthday, it's not just like a little birthday party, it represents the coming together of Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That's why there's a mitzvah tanz. All of these very...
That's why they need...
They have to raise money. Everything is a business. Alright, but it's a very big thing. Look, you don't see people making a very big deal about a bris, and you go to a bris. I mean, you're thinking, if you would ask the prayer, what's a bigger mitzvah, a bris or a wedding? Bris, hands down. I'll show you many of my marichasal. The bris is this is the bris between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. It's a mitzvah deraisa. It's a mitzvah from Avraham. It's from the Torah. It's the real deal of bris mila. A wedding? It's not even a mitzvah according to it. It's just a hechsher mitzvah. You know, the bracha is very apologetic. She'osalonu esarusa is. It's like everything is in the negative. It's not even. And yet, a wedding, people will spend easily tens of thousands of dollars on a wedding. When it comes to a bris, you try to get away the cheapest hall, the cheapest caterer. There's no big deal. 6 o'clock in the morning, who wants to come? You have to go in your close family. Okay. But even the Syrians, they probably make even bigger weddings, I would imagine. Right? Whatever they make for the bris. Why? Because a wedding, although it may not be a mitzvah, a wedding, in everyone's understanding, represents the coming together of Hashem with Klal Yisrael. Hashem, Klal Yisrael, it's the Shechina, the Zivug. What?
I went this year with a $50,000
bris.
I thought I was looking around, I was saying 30, the guy said 50.
50, wow. You're in the business, you're in the catering.
It was outrageous.
That was probably a regular.
What was a regular waiter service meal?
Yes, sir. Caviar.
Wow. Okay, but it's a very holy thing, and therefore goyim are not allowed.
Why?
Because it's the union between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, to the exclusion of goyim. It's not for them to be there. It's not for them to be there. Okay, by not everyone is so into this idea. They do have. Okay. This is not the real.
Rest assured, if B&H is making a wedding, there's goyim.
Okay, this is not traditional.
Right,
traditional,
one.
Right?
Used to see.
Right. Simchas Torah. This is a big topic because it is the union, the Shechin, the Zivug of Hashem and Klali. It's not just a party. Man and woman are getting married. It represents the Yichud, the unification of Hashem with Klal Yisrael. To the Vineflinu Ani V'Amcha, Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are in a nation apart. Vineflinu Ani V'Amcha, Ani V'Amcha, I and you are separate, we are apart. When we come together, no one is allowed. That is what Klal Yisrael, what is a bris? A bris means us, just us, no one else.
You shouldn't have better go to a Mitzvah.
No, so a bris, these are all issues. There are different levels. There are different, yeah, possibly could very well be. That's why some want to say you shouldn't wear tefillin by a bris. The Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't wear tefillin. Why does some not wear tefillin by a bris? Because what is tefillin? Tefillin is an oath. Beini uveinecha. Between me and you and no one else. By wearing tefillin is the inyan of a rohu kol ameh haaretz ki shem Hashem nikur. The whole world shall see that Hashem's shechina rests upon us. Our bris is private. It's between us and Hashem. So you don't want tefillin to some degree is like an antenna. You broadcast. You broadcast your religion to the entire world. Verohu kol ameh haaretz ki shem Hashem nikur olecha. Bris is private. It's none of your business. It's a bris between us and Hashem. It's no one's business to see. Therefore, bedafka, you should not be wearing tefillin, according to some. This is not accepted according to Minhag Ashkenaz. But you should bedafka not be wearing tefillin because you don't broadcast private matters. This is a private matter. You don't broadcast. Simchas Torah. It's a modern minhag, only 400 years. Hot topic. Is it proper to invite politicians to come to Simchas Torah? It used to be today, it's not a big deal today, we don't do this. But it used to be in years ago, where the minhag originated, it was a very big thing, Simchas Torah, and it was a ceremonial event, and they invited the mayor, and they invite all the politicians, the Gosha politicians, and it's discussed, is this the proper thing to do? So the point I want to make over here is, what?
I've seen that it was years ago.
Years ago, right. So today everything is watered down. It's gotten rather, yeah. But the point I want to make over here is, here it says they cleaned, they vayitaru es om v'yasashon v'yasachayim. Rashi here says, very simply, shlotei tumo shambu ir. They're doing something holy, they bring a carbon todah, they're taking kosher, they're walking around, making a procession. Tumah. All the mafarshim, I don't know which mafarshim, all the mafarshim, they know it's nothing with tumah, it's just a matter of ceremonial. It's everyone is coming together. They're making a very big ceremony. It should be clean. The walls just should be spick and span. They take a mop and wash it down. Who's coming to this ceremony? Is it only the Jews are coming to this Chanukah Yerushalayim? Or were Goyim invited to participate as well? Doesn't say. The walls were clean. Typically when you clean the walls, you clean them and cover Shabbos, clean for yourself also. But I'm just wondering out loud, this was a very big public ceremony. Did they invite the locals, the local politicians, the non-Jews, to witness this sanctification of the city? Now Rashi here says they cleaned the Shloitea Tumah Shamu'ir, and she know, B'dikas Chametz, many Gedolei Yisrael, this is not a joke, when they did B'dikas Chametz, not only did they check for Chametz, they would spend the whole night doing Bedikas Chametz, looking for every, there's such as most of us, when you do Bedikas Chametz, 10, 15, 20 minutes, if you're really good, a half an hour, you really want to be machim, you'll go over to the house very carefully, take you an hour. But there are people, it's an avoda. Bedikas Chametz is an avoda. What does Chametz represent? It's Sa'ar Shabi Isa. You go around the house checking every nook and cranny for Chametz. Then they were Gedolei Yisrael. Not only did they check for Chametz, they went through their library to make sure there were no sefarim of apikursus. Can you imagine such a thing? They didn't just use bedikas chametz as a time to check for chametz. Of course, that's the basics. But in the process of checking for chametz, for crumbs, they also checked their whole home. Is everything here in spiritual order? Are there things in this home which are, okay, what we call, I don't like to use these terms, things which are just do not belong in a Jewish home.
Are not in a Jewish
home. So, interesting, that's really what Rashi would appear if you could read it into Rashi. Look what they're doing now. It's Yerushalayim. You know, you go to Yerushalayim, unfortunately, you know, everyone, equality, everyone has equal rights, and you have the Christian quarter, you know, but put that aside. Talk about the Orthodox section of Yerushalayim. Is everything in the Orthodox section of Yerushalayim according to halacha? Even if it's according to halacha, is it the right thing? What? Whatever it is, I'm not going into specifics. I'm just asking. It's an interesting idea. Here you are. Just think about what's happening here. It's the same idea. That's really, really what Rashi seems to be saying on a deeper level, on a more homiletic approach to this pasuk. Look what they're doing now. They've come a long way. It's been now 95 years approximately after the Churban Bayis Rishon. They've come so far to, they've returned. They never thought they would return. They returned. They settled. They rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. They rebuilt the walls. Incredible. Now they're coming to sanctify the city. A beautiful procession. Ezra, Nehemiah, the Kohanim, the Levim. They're going to walk around with Karmen Toida. They're going to sanctify the inside of the city. Yet in the city, there are little shops or little places or homes or things that are not proper. Whatever not proper means on each person's level. So I'm going to sanctify the city, give it sanctity, and in the city there are things that should not be? Is that how you're going to sanctify the city? It's a contradiction. The sanctification does not work. So before they would sanctify the city, a thorough inspection of the city was made, that there should not be anything that's k'neged the Torah, k'neged halacha, so the sanctity should work. That's really what Rashi is saying. It's not just, Rashi takes the words hachoyma, not literally. Rashi says, v'yitaru es sham yes hachoyma, shalotiye tuma sham be'ir. Not in the walls. I told you one shot they wash the walls. Or I told you another shot, they make sure that in the cracks of the walls they know nevelos. Because birds in ancient times would prey on dead animals and would eat some of the dead meat and would carry it and would rest in the walls and put some of the dead meat in the walls. Nevela. Kazayas of nevela is metame. Right, so now the Kohanim are going to be walking around the walls, they're going to be brushing up against the walls, they're going to come in contact with a piece of nevela. You don't want that. That's one shot. Or you wash the walls, such a nice clean spick and span. Rashi appears to be saying something much deeper. At least if you want to expand the scope of Rashi, the wall doesn't mean the wall. It means the interior of the wall, the city. And Tumah doesn't just mean dead meat. It means things which are keneged the kedusha of the Torah, whatever that may be on everyone's level at the time, and that had to be removed before the city could be sanctified. Okay, next. Now we go to Pasuk Lamed Aleph in Rashi. This is important. Rashi mi alachayma shekidesh esoir v'holchu hasadim. They sanctified the city. And so who walked? Who went in this process? Rashi is calling from a Gemara. I'm going to read you the Gemara in a few moments. Who walked over here? Hasarim, the princes, Ubeisdin, and the Bezdin, the Hakoyhanim, the Halavim, Imshte Toidois. So first of all, Rashi says something which is not clear. Maybe you can read into the Pesukim. We will listen to the names, the leaders, and the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin. It's not clear where Rashi got, where the Gemara got this from. Perhaps nothing more than a tradition. The Sarm were the Pasuk list the Sarm. The leaders of the Shvatim. What their role? Right, it says here, we're going to have in Pasuk Lamed Beis. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, just read it right now, Vayelech Achareihem, who followed behind, well, first Pasuk Lamed Aleph, sorry, go back to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Va'ale, I brought up on top of the wall, on the wall, or near the wall, Es Sarei Yehuda, the leaders of Shevet Yehuda. Here Rashi translates soidas to mean two karbonos gidolos. We'll review that in Rashi in a moment. And they walked to the right. That we learned yesterday. Let's just right now read the next two psukim. Lamed Beis. Vayelech achareihem Hoshaya, who followed behind the Sarei Yehuda. Behind the Sarei Yehuda, And behind the todos, the shtei soidos gedolos, was Hoshaya, v'chatzi sore Yehuda. Who else? V'azariah and Ezra u'meshulam Yehuda u'vinyamin u'shmaya v'yirmiya. Seven people. Okay, we have here seven people followed behind the carbon toad. Let's see Rashi and the Mitzvahs to explain this. They sanctified. We have the Sarim, Ubeistin. Okay, so this is two things which are not mentioned. They're mentioned a little bit later on. The Bezdin, Where does he get that from? I don't know. The Sanhedrin, okay, the Hakohanim, the Halavim, Im Shtei.
Part of the Sorum is also debated.
Is that? That's not what Rashi breaks it up separately. He has Sodim, Ubezdin, the Hakohanim, the Halavim, which we're going to learn before the Pasuk Lamed Hey and Lamed Vav. Okay, we're going to come to those people later on. Im Shtei Soidois. They accompanied the two carbon Toidois, Saviv Lu'ir, Hakol, Kimufurish, Bimsech, the Shavuois. In order to sanctify the city. Next Rashi. Shtei soidois, shtei lachmei toida. So Rashi here says very clearly two breads of toida. This is not like other Rishayim. It's very complicated. When it says shtei toidos, it either means two columns, two rows of people walking. In each row, they had in their possession breads. How many breads? Some of the Rishayim clearly say total of 10. Five in focus. How many breads of chametz were there in the carbon todah? 10. There are 40 breads in total. 30 matzah. 10 chametz. How many chametz? So if you have 10 chametz and you have two rows, one row will carry 5, and the other row will carry the other 5. They're only going to carry chametz. That's not what Rashi, I think Malbim says. And I'm saying Malbim says, it says there's only 5 and 5. But Rashi says, no, that's not what it means. When it says shtei todos, means only 2 of the 10. So where are the other 8? They're in the Beis HaMikdash. They never left the Beis HaMikdash. They're together with the 30 matzos. There are 30 matzos. There are 10 breads. Leave 30 matzos home in the Mikdash. Leave 8 of the 10 breads of the chametz in the Mikdash. And only take 2. That is how Rashi learns. Shtei lachmei todah. Kol lechem v'lechem, each lechem is karut, each bread, loaf, is called a toda. Next words of Rashi, v'sahaluchos layamin, v'chasher yatsu min o'ir, k'dei l'soiva, holchu l'tzad yamina, and when they left the city to surround the city, they went to the right side, they made a turn to the right. Okay, let's see Pasuk Lamed Aleph, who went, Yehuda bin Yamin, shnei son ho'yusov Rash, according to Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, is coming and telling us who were the Sarei Yehuda. The Psukim are like not in order. You have to take the entire section and reorganize it to figure out what's going on. This Psukim here in Pasuk Hoshaya and Chat Sarei Yehuda are defining who the Sarei Yehuda were in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. They are Shnei Sarei Yehuda, Ve'echov, Chaverav Zechariah HaKoyen, and his brother in Pasuk Lamed. That's really Pasuk Lamed. We didn't get to that. Let's now see the Mesudos. And then we do the Gemara. Okay, let's see the Mesudos. Pasuk Chav Zayin. They recruited Levim. They came with their musical instruments, mitzaltayim, the cymbals alha mitzaltayim, the percussion instruments. Next, chavches vayeosu raslam nesu nishlam atzmam nekikar shesivos yishlam min from the different parts of the city. Vayitaru tavlu mitumos, they went to mikvah. Okay, so the mitzvah is much more literal. Doesn't just mean they spiritually purified themselves; they actually went to mikvah. Vayitaru sa'am zirzu esam l'taratzman. They encouraged them. They encouraged the people to cleanse themselves, to purify themselves. Yes, hasharim tiras shami kol tumo mios. They cleansed the gates. Not like Rashi doesn't mean like not like Rashi that said it was a city. He takes the word the shtarim much more literally. Literally, the gates. Well, it's not going on the wall. It's going here on the gates. The gates to make sure there's no tumo mios. Okay, next lamed aleph. They now walked me'al lachayma lamal lachayma on top of the wall. V'amida ratzleimer hevesi shama shtelach mitayda gidolos. What does it mean gidolos? Ratzleimer milechem hachametz shemitayda. Not the matzah, the chametz. Shehin gidolos min hamatzah shemitayda. Kein amu rabosenu zichonim levacha uvechem hayu mesam esoir lekatsha. And they specifically used the chametz breads to walk around the city to give it sanctity, not the matzah breads. Next words, visa haluchos, haschola sahiluch bochen hoya el hayamin. The procession began to the right. Me aluchayma, ratzolaima min amok mashal helam aluchayma hoyridam, vaholchu imohem lufnei sharashbos. when they came from the top of the place where he brought them up, they came down. After they made a right, they went up on the wall, and then the first place where they came down from the wall, they entered was to the Shar HaAshbos. That was the first stop. There were many different gates along the route, which we'll see later on in the Psukim. And it appears, according at least to the Mitsudos, that where the Mitsudos learns, they went up and down on the wall. The Mitsudas was very literal. He says, Me'alocha means literally along the thickness of the wall. And here the Mitsudas is telling us that at some point in time they came down from the wall to the ground. Hoyridom, he took them down the Holchimoim Lufnei in front of Shar Ho'ashbos. Achareim, Achre Hanes Meslach Me'atodah. So it says here that the Sarim went behind. The ones who went in front were the two people who were carrying the breads. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, who were the leaders? Va'azaria, Lefi Shehem Ohayu Me'ayoyser Chashuv Lezeh Partam Mishmam. These were the most distinguished, and therefore they are counted first. Okay, now this pretty much concludes the idea in the Rashi. Now let me read you a Gemara just to get a little more flavor of what is going on here. This is Masechta.
Ezra
is around. Ezra is leading this column. Ezra is in front.
Yeah.
Ezra, we're going to see over here in the end of this section, Ezra is leading this group. There are two groups, one that's going to the right, one that's going to the left. The group that's making a turn to the right is led by Ezra, and the group that's making a turn to the left was led by Nehemiah. The southern side of the city was sanctified by Ezra and the followers, and the northern side of the city was sanctified by Nehemiah and his followers. Yeah.
They're going to meet.
They're going to go come to the center, and they're going to come in. Interesting. I wonder in history if there's any. I don't know the geography and the history of the city. If there's a different, if the southern part of the city had a different role and function traditionally than the northern side of the city, and they say a sandik. Whoever is a sandik has a very. There are a lot of stories, such stories that the sandik by a bris milah makes a roshan on the child. There are a lot of stories that the people analyze different very famous families, and some children followed a certain path in life. Good, everything is good, and other children followed a different path in life. And there have been people, you have to go read all these ancient stories, these Hasidic stories, they trace who is the tzaddik of the children, of these children, and they find a relationship between the tzaddik has a hashpah, a influence over the type of life, whatever this means, it's very hard for us to really appreciate this, that the child will take in life, will follow in life. And that's why they say it's a very big thing. A person should not just give a tzaddik to just anyone. A person has a child, a grandchild, you have to be very careful who you select as the tzaddik, because the tzaddik somehow gives a certain sanctity to the child, and you want that sanctity to should be good. You take a businessman, a person that's not an erelch person, and he's the tzaddik, chas v'shalom, that can have a bad influence on the child. There are such stories. I'm not making this up. This is popular stuff. Interesting, the city was sanctified. The south...
In a certain way.
What? No, whatever. The tzaddik just sits. The tzaddik sits however he sits. I read a story recently, the Satmar Rufs. He's not here. He acts like a Satmar when he came to America. So he was always a tzaddik. Always a tzaddik. You know, there were a lot of Hasidim, they don't hold of this thing you give only once. They're scared. They're very, very scared that the child should turn out well. And you give it to the holiest person that you know of. So if you have a Satmar Ruf, you give it to him no matter what. You don't play games. You're not going to go start giving grandfathers who are involved in who knows what. You give it to the Satmar Rav over and over again. Okay, so he came to America. So he came to one bris. And there was like you've all seen this. There are different types of moilim. They're the more traditional types. And every once in a while you get like a doctor type of moil. Right? I love the theatrics. I love those. Those ones who make a whole spiel. It's gewaldig. Okay, but there was a sandik. There was a moil, like a doctor type. You know, a very, which is fine because the Chazal tell us the ikur is umanyat. The ikur is that he should be good with his hands. That's the ikur. The sandik is a good man. That's fine. You don't have to worry about the moil. The moil is just a plumber. not mamish a plumber, but I don't mean to put that in. You know, it's important. I know some Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I'm going to Ely. Someone here, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, was out of town. Someone, person, father, the Avi Ben told me the story. Person, he was out of town. He was in Texas about 40 years ago, and they had a choice of two moyalim, a yeshivish guy, a Lakewood guy. But he wasn't too good with his hands. And there was a conservative rabbi, a conservative rabbi who was a mumcha. He was very good with his hands. He asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, which one should he use? Use the conservative. Because by bris milah, the ikar is umenyat. You don't play around with a child. Just because the other model is a good yari shemayim, if he's not good with his hands, stay away. Take the doctor. Don't worry about his religious affiliation. As long as he's Jew, it's okay. It's okay.
But
I heard this from the father of the child. Father of the child. Told me the story personally. He called him. He didn't know what to do. He was going out of his mind. He called him Yaakov Kamenetsky because the only mother that was available was a certain yeshivish guy. He's done brisim, but he didn't have a good reputation as being he had a good reputation being a Yerush Shemayim, but he didn't have a good reputation as being good with his hands. So, you know, his handshake, he didn't have a good, so he, and the other person in the community at the time was this conservative rabbi, which was a doctor. He was A-OK. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky told him, Iker is umanyat, is skill. Take the one that has good skills. Don't worry about anything else. That's just for the.
You don't watch Seinfeld, right?
No. You know how many people ask me that question? It is so bizarre. Already within the last month, three people asked me that. Maybe I should watch. See what I'm missing.
What?
Yeah.
The Moel was a little off.
Yeah.
It's a little off.
Okay, but the point I want to make is the Sabarov came to a bris. He was invited when he first came to America, and the Moyel was someone that was not very religious, and he told the Sabarov to sit on the table. Why? He says, because if you sit on the chair, I'm going to have to bend. I'd rather you sit on the table. You're the son. The son was the son. So you sit on the table. That way when I do the bris, I won't have to bend. I can clearly see what I'm doing. So he got up and he left. They tried to pacify him. They bring him back. No, we'll tell the doctor. Too bad. He'll do the. No. Such a place where they have such hasagas that I should sit on the table. You don't sit on a table. Table is a mizbeach, is a shulchan, and you tell the sannik at a time of a bris milah to sit on the table. And they're telling the satmar rav to do this. No. I'm out of here. Okay, so this goes to show, and no, it's right. I mean, there's a certain kedusha, a certain sensitivity. Put away makeup here. I find it very interesting. Here you have the city, and the city is being sanctified. The sanctification of the city is no less than the sanctification that a sanduk instills in the child. And here, there are two columns. There is the south and the north. The south has been sanctified by Ezra. The north has been sanctified by Nehemiah. Now, let's not put down Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a Chof Dal Tzivrei Tanakh. I mean, this is serious business. Nehemiah was a... But Nehemiah, relative to Ezra, L'chore, Ezra was a holier person. I assume to be correct. That Ezra was a sage. Ezra HaSofer, Chazal say, much more a higher level of sanctity, and he was the one that was designated to lead the sandik, so to speak, of the sanctification of the southern part of Yerushalayim. Whereas Nehemiah is instilling sanctity in the northern part of Yerushalayim. So it's interesting that if we were to study Jewish history and study the tkuf of the Bayis Sheni, especially the time of the Churban, there were a lot of wars at the Bayis Sheni when there was machlokes. It's interesting to go study if it can be shown there were different factions, and there's a lot of architecture, there's a lot of studies, a lot of books, these coffee table books about Yerushalayim, to learn what took place, what occurred during the tkufa of the Bayis Sheni in the southern part of the city versus the northern part of the city, if that can be traced to personality and sanctity that we can trace back to the psukim we find with regard to the conduct of Ezra and Nehemiah in these two svarim. I think there's definitely something here which can be studied, the two different sides of the city. Okay, let's go back to the end of the. So we did all the mitzvahs. I just want to read you a Gemara. Just a little bit. Yeah.
I was talking to my brother today about the walk around the walls, and he said that based on the puzzle, Sobu Tzion b'hakituha.
Yeah. Ah, interesting.
Although the cops don't allow it in recent years.
They stopped.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. So basically that pasuk corresponds to this idea of walking around the city. Very interesting. Okay, let me just read you a Gemara. It's a Daf Tes Vav. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Masechta Shavuos. This Masechta Shavuos on Daf Yud Dalid Amid Aleph talks about the sanctification of the city. She'ein moisifin al ho'ir v'al ho'azaros ela b'melech v'navi. There's a lot of rules, and the Gemara discusses all of the sources that if you want to add, this Mishnah is discussing where Yerushalayim already exists, and now you want to expand the city walls, or for that matter, this is a sugya, if you want to expand the azara. You want to enlarge, Azara doesn't have to, there's no set shear for the size of the Azara. If you want to expand it, you need a whole number of conditions. Number one, Ela b'melech. You must have a melech. So who here was acting as the melech at this point in time? Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was still alive at this point in time? Seemingly, yeah. Zerubbabel or his descendants, so maybe one of whoever came after him. V'navi. Who was the Navi? Ezra. Ezra was a Navi. He was Malachi. V'urim b'tumim. Now they didn't have that. That's very difficult to understand. There were no urim b'tumim at this point in time. We know that. So I didn't study this in detail, but it says he needed urim b'tumim. This Sanhedrin shall shivim ve'echad. You need the Sanhedrin to participate in the sanctification, and that's exactly what Rashi here said. Rashi, who walked around the wall? Ubezdin. Ubezdin is the Sanhedrin. Absolutely. The Sanhedrin was never bought. Even when they were in Galus, there was a Sanhedrin. And there was a Sanhedrin after the Churban by Beis HaMikdash. They did not sit in the Beis HaMikdash. It was destroyed even before the Churban. They exiled themselves outside. But it was always the Sanhedrin until even the Meri Beirah. Even in recent times, they wanted to reinstitute the Sanhedrin. And Eretz Yisrael, to a certain degree, they did. Rav Steinsaltz was the role. They made some time. I don't know what degree. I don't know. They did this something a couple of years ago. They did, Napoleon right now. That was another topic. But you need a Sanhedrin. Shal Shim V'yechat 71. Uvishtei Soida. Here it's Uvishtei Soidas. You need two Soidas. You need to have Shnei Lachme Toida. And has the high Rashi, while you know it's not a hekav, you have to carry it behekav. Suddenly, you have to walk around the city. Uvashir, and while you're walking around the city, you have to sing. As it says over here, they sang songs of Hoidah. Doesn't tell us anywhere exactly what they sang here, but they sang singles of Hoidah. Ubezdin Mahalchin, and the procession is Bezdin walks. Ushtei Soidois Acharehen, V'chol Yisrael Acharehen. Now here it says something which is not clear. You don't see this in the Pasuk. It says the Seder is the one who goes in front is the Bezdin. The Bezdin goes in front, the Karban goes back in the middle, and behind, the whole Yisrael Achareyem. A very interesting Seder is that the greatest Kavod was given to the Talmidei Chachamim. They were the ones who sanctified the city and the Azor by going first, followed by the Toida. Doesn't say that. If you want to read it into the Pasuk, the only way we can read it into the Pasuk is by Pasuk Lamed Aleph and saying, V'ale es Sori Yehuda. Because it says here first, Sori Yehuda, Mi'alachayma, V'amido shtei soidois, G'doylois, then I position two soidois, V'sahaluchos le'imin, Mi'alachayma, L'shayim, V'ayelech achareyem hoshaya, V'chatzei Sori Yehuda. So we learn simply that Pasuk Lamed Aleph is coming to explain who were the Sorim. And there really is no order. But if you want to take this Mishnah, you want to connect it to the Pasuk, you can't suggest that the Sori Yehuda were the Sanhedrin. First was the Sori Yehuda, they were the Sanhedrin. Then came the Shtei Soidos. And then came the Chol Yisrael. In the Chol Yisrael, well, there was a hierarchy of the leaders. I mean, it fits very, it explains. What?
Where did the Kohanim
and Leviim, wait, what did I say? They're included, they are included.
Where it doesn't talk of.
The Kohanim and the Leviim are included in the term of Chol Yisrael.
So what's the thing for Chatzi Yisrael?
Because the other half had to go with Nehemiah. Half went with, half and went to the right. So I think that's an approach. The Sore will be the Bezdin. Maybe that's what Rashi is, because they go first. Then come the Toidos. And then comes the Sorim, which include all the people listed. First the leaders, then the Kohanim and the Levim. That Lachor fits nicely into the Pasuk when you take this Mishnah. Oh, so Sore maybe are the part of the heads of the Bezdin. I don't know. I hear the question. I don't know the answer. I just want to bring out these issues. It's not clear. I look mafarshim. I don't have too many mafarshim to work with. It's not easy to find a lot of mafarshim on the Nehemiah, but you got to put all the pieces together. This is a critical Mishnah. You can't ignore this Mishnah. This is the Iker, right? I mean, it's a Mishnah. And here you have the Psukim, the Mishnah from the Psukim. How did these things come together? The Gemara elaborates. Just want to bring out a few lines of the Gemara. The Gemara says a few, it fills in a few gaps. Tan Rabbanan, Shir Shel Toida. When they walk with the Toida, what was the song? B'chinoyos, u'v'nevalim, u'v'tzil tzalim. Okay, it changes the order. I don't know why it changes the order. We learned the order here. First came when he recruited. First comes the mitziltayim. Then that was first. Then the nevalim. Then the chinoros. Here in the Gemara, Tan Rabban Shir Shel Toida, kinoros. First kinoros, harp. Then come uve nevalim. Then the wind instruments. And then uve tziltzalim. Interesting reverse. Okay, haloi davar. What's going on in the Gemara? Okay, you can say
it. It's hard to see the significance of it.
Okay, you're right, Nechanami. Okay, I'm not coming. Then it says something which is interesting. Al-Kolpina, the Al-Kol Evan Gedoyla Shebi Yushalayim. They would sing. When would they sing? On every turn. Pina means corner. It appears they did not actually sing the entire procession. When they came to a turning point, or a corner, how you want to translate a pina, I'm not sure, a corner or a turning point, the Al Kol Evan Gidoila, every large stone, Shebi Yushalayim, they would sing. Now what would they sing? So here it tells us the Mizmarim. The Omer, Aromimcha Hashem Ki Dili Sani. The first thing they would sing was Mizma Shir Chanukas Habayis Ladav. Perfect, right? No one's going to argue with that. Chanukas Habayis Ladavid, that's what you say when you're Chanukas Habayis. Here Yerushalayim is one large bayis, or the Azara. Aromimcha Hashem Ki Dili Sani, you have uplifted me. V'losimachta Oivali, you did not allow my enemies to rejoice. Our enemies never wanted us to build. That really fits perfectly into the times. The times of Nehemiah, where our enemies, they were trying Sanballat. Getting of Sefer Nehemiah and Ezra, they were trying so hard to prevent us from building Beis Hamikdash, so they did not succeed. The Shir Shel Pegoim. Now what is Shir Shel Pegoim? That is Yoyeshev B'Seser Elyon. Right? That is called Shir Shel Pegoim. The Yesham, some say Shir Shel Negoim. Now what is Shir Shel Negoim? Let me read Rashi. Shir Shel Pegoim, Yoyeshev B'Seser Elyon. That was what they sang. So one who authored Yoyeshe B'Seser Elyon was Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's what they sang. So when they're coming here to dedicate the Beis Hamikdash, they're giving credit. Moshe had a desire. It's interesting. We're coming back, we're focusing on something that Moshe Rabbeinu himself composed. Moshe Rabbeinu was, from all the Ishei HaTanach, was the one that yearned the most to come into Eretz Yisrael. For Eschanan El Hashem Bo Esa Hilemar, Evra Be'artzcha Ve'eres Oretz HaToiv Asher Be'ever Hayad Nohara HaToiv Hazev HaLavana. So it's fascinating. Who are we giving? Who are we reminding ourselves of when we dedicate Yerushalayim? Moshe Rabbeinu. For all the 150 songs in Sefer Tehillim, only a handful of them, 10 of them, were really originally composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're selecting those of Moshe as the way we're going to give Shir, because Moshe Rabbeinu was really the one who got us here. He got us here, and we have to give credit to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's why it's called Shir Shel Nagayim, which is Yoshe B'Seisu, which Rashi says was composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yesham Shir Shel V'yesham, some say Shir Shel Nagayim. Now, what is Shir Shel Nagayim? I'm not sure. Now, Man de Omar, the Gemara discusses on Man de Omar, the Nagayim, the Chesiv, it says, V'nega lo yikrav ve'ohol echa. Nega shall not come in your tent. Umandiyam pegoim d'chsev. It's the same shit. It's the same thing. I'm sorry. It's the same. Yoyishay b'seiser elyon is called by two names. Sometimes it's called shir shel negoim, and sometimes it's called shir shel pegoim. A pega, a bad meeting. Why? So because umandiyam negoim d'chsev. Nega lo. It says in that mizmor. Nega lo yikrav. It's mizmor lamed. Nega lo yikrav yeholecha. Umandiyam pegoim d'chsev yipol mit sidcha elef. That from you, that a pega, that the enemies that we encounter shall fall to the side when we
other dangers.
You probably said elef the oimer. Then you say yoishev b'seiser elyon b'tzel shaka yisloinon ad kiat hashemachsi elyon samtem yonecha v'chozev yomer mizmor l'David. Then we say another mizmor. This mizmor gimel bevarcha mebnei avshalom b'no Hashem morab utzorei ad l'Hashem hayisholam chavir chasachasela. And then we mention another mizmor. I really want to study these mizmor more and come back to you and tell you mitzvah maybe next week why dafka these mizmor. Okay, but we'll leave with that this gemara. Hopefully we'll come back. I just want to tell you one of them before we conclude. For today's one important idea that why dafka are they using the two breads of chametz and not the matzah breads of the Karban Todah? So it's a very obvious answer because it's connected to the shtei halechem of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. On Pesach, how many lashonis of gula are there? Four. The yotzeisi, the yitzalti, the gualti, the lakachti. But what about the fifth lashon of gula, the hevesi? That we don't say. The Hevesi is Shavuos. Everything about Shavuos relates to Eretz, coming into Eretz Yisrael. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is connected to Pesach. We count 50 days we prepare from coming out of Mitzrayim to our goal of Matan Torah, which is in turn also brings us into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Yom Tov of Shavuos is called V'yoyim HaBikurim. You bring the first fruits of the land. So everything about Shavuos, Amir Tashem will learn, Shavuos will learn is all related to Eretz Yisrael. What is the carbon of Shavuos? Which carbon is offered on Shavuos? The Shtei Halechem. You bring two loaves of bread, and what do you do with the two loaves of bread? Tenufa. You wave it in all six directions. What are you doing? So this is the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Shavuos. Shavuos is the Yom Tov of Eretz Yisrael. And what do you do on this Yom Tov? You take Shtei Halechem, Chametz, two loaves that are Chametz, and you wave it. What are you doing when you're coming to sanctify Yerushalayim? You're taking two loaves of Chametz. What are you doing? You're marching around the entire city. Marching around the entire city is a form of Tenufa, of waving. What else is this? Now, why is this called Todah? So many Mepharshim, is a very popular approach, is that Yom Pesach and Shavuos are connected. Pesach, we eat matzah. And Shavuos, that's the mitzvah Sayyim of Pesach, to eat matzah. The first day of Pesach, not the Omer. The Omer is the second day of Pesach. That's the different. What's the mitzvah Sayyim of Pesach? Matzah.
Right.
How many matzahs? So we have three matzahs, right? But matzah. There are three matzahs in the Karban Todah. What's the mitzvah Sayyim of Shavuos? Shtei Halachim Chometz. What's the combination of matzah and chometz? What is that? A Karban Todah. So when we, Kadosh Baruch Hu, took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us into Eretz Yisrael, we are offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the big picture of things, a carbon todah. And we break up the carbon over two holidays. We bring the matzah section, our matzah part on Pesach, and the chametz section we bring on Shavuos. The chametz section is the part that we bring when we actually enter into Eretz Yisrael. The matzah part is the part that we bring when we leave Egypt. Now we're coming here to sanctify Yerushalayim. How is it being done? Shtei soidois gedolois, specifically with the chometz, because that's what the Yontif of Shavuos is all about. So the sanctification of Yerushalayim in the big picture of things is just a, with the tenuva, with the waving, walking, marching around with the breads, is a form of tenufa, of waving the shtei halechem, the two loaves of bread of chametz. There's a direct parallel. A direct parallel in the sanctification of Yerushalayim with the shtei soidos gedolos to the tenufa of the shtei halechem on Shavuos. They're both chametz, they're both represent Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim sanctification, and they, in the big picture of things, it is a toda, because the shtei halechem on Shavuos is viewed together with the matzos of Pesach, which is what a carbon toda is all about. You have an animal, and you have the breads. And here we have as well the carbon toda. Okay, so there's more to be discussed, and we'll pick this up, Yirtzeh Hashem, next week.